Amen. Extremely, again, glad to see everybody here today. And last week, we got into John chapter 17. And we're going to go back to John chapter 17 again this week. And we will probably be in John chapter 17 again next week. I started writing my notes, and I started trying to prepare an outline. And finally, I will be honest with you folks, what I had to do is just finally close my Bible and not write anymore, because I thought, well, if I keep writing, we will be here until next week this time with all of the things that God has been showing me from John chapter 17. Again, to kind of give you a little bit of background, and in a few moments here, we're going to have Cleo come up here, and he's going to read John chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses, and he's going to read verses 6 through 20. John chapter 17, 6 through 20. Again, just give you a little bit of outline to get everybody caught up. And I know sometimes when I close my eyes at night, my brain resets and I don't remember what I'm supposed to remember. And so to help you understand, this prayer is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where Jesus was at this particular time, this event took place after the Lord Jesus Christ had sat with his disciples in the upper room and had broke bread with them and had communion with them and shared with them the gospel and how the Lord's Supper, or and him breaking the bread and the wine, was an example of what was about ready to take place, and they were observing the Passover, and so from there they all got up. And they were heading out, and the Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to a place that he frequented often, and that was the Garden of Gethsemane, to pray. And so he got there, and he was praying. And this prayer that Jesus prayed here, it is broke up, this chapter in this prayer is broke up into three sections. First, from verses 1 through 6, the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for himself. Then from 6 to verse number 20, the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for his disciples. Now again, let me help you understand what we're talking about here when we're talking about when he was praying for his disciples, because this will help us here in our study. The Lord Jesus Christ was praying for those that God had given him. Now there were probably more than 12, but primarily the 12 disciples, those who had accepted, those, and I'll show you that here in a moment, those who had put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what God had said. And so from verse number 6 to verse number 20, his prayer is focused around them, those who he was about ready to depart from, and because from the Garden of Gethsemane at this point, the Lord Jesus Christ would go to be crucified and go through all of the things there, and so he was praying. And then in verses 20 till the end of the chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for future believers in Christ, those that would accept the Lord Jesus Christ later on, and not only accept the Lord Jesus Christ later on, but by the hands, or I should say, or by the words of the disciples that he had spent 3.5 years with, training them, teaching them, giving them all of the things that they needed to know about that. I come to this conclusion by reading the Word of God, but two verses really stuck out to me last week, is what he says here in verse number 8. He starts out in verse number 8, he says, "For I have given unto them the words." And I kind of looked at that, and that was interesting. And the word there is plural. Then if you go down to verse number 14, it says, "And I have given unto them thy word." And I got to looking at that, and I got to thinking, well, what's the difference between words and word? And that's what we're going to look at today. So, Brother Cleo, if you'll come at John chapter 17 and verses 6 through 20, if you would read those for us.
Good morning, beloved. John chapter 17, verses 6 through 20. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I prayed not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Amen. As we talked about last week, and understand that God makes no mistakes. And what I really kind of find interesting here, if we back up just a little bit, and I'm going to point some things out to you here and show you some things here. In verse number 6, it says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, what's really interesting here, as you look at this, what the Lord Jesus Christ is declaring. He's declaring the message that he gave to the believers here. He's declaring here, he said, I have manifested thy name. Remember who he's praying for. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Now, what's really interesting is the next words, it says, out of this world. And out of this world. You know, folks, when we're in Christ, we can't be in the world. When we're in Christ, we can't be in the world. While I'm not talking about losing your salvation or any kind of a work salvation here, but we do live in a day and age where people profess to be saved, but they're not saved. And you say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, they're identifying themselves as a Christian, but they have not. And I'll show you the difference here. He says, thine they were, and thou hast given them me, and they have kept thy word. You see, there was something different about these men here. There was something different about the believers that Jesus is talking about here. They were people who had made a decision to leave the world, to leave the sin of the world, to leave the devil, and turn their life over to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've entitled this message here this morning, Miracles or relationship. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning, and we just want to thank you, Lord, for the time that we have here. Lord, I pray that you would help me to clearly articulate the things that you have for your people this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to reach the one that needs to be saved. And Lord, help them to understand that you love them and that you want them. And Lord, that you all that you did was so that they could have eternal life. And Father, now I pray that you would guide and direct and have your will and your way in our service here. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at this and we understand who the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, and jump down with me to verse number 8. He says, "For I have given unto them thy words." You know, that really intrigued me here. We live in a world, and the reason I entitled this message Miracles and Relationship, I want to show you the difference. We have too many people today, and a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning, we have too many people today that are hung up on the miracles. We have too many people that are hung up on the things that they can see, feel, and touch. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is what he's telling them, and in his prayer he said, "I have given unto them thy words." What does he mean here? You know, we look at many of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. One of the miracles, the first miracle he did when he was at the marriage, he turned water into wine. Now again, he did not make alcohol. It was not an alcoholic beverage. It was wine. And that wine was so good and so perfect and so wonderful that it was never repeated again. Think about that for a minute. Never again in the Bible did God turn water, or did Jesus turn water into wine? And again, you say, well, what does that all have to do with anything? Miracles are wonderful, and miracles are exciting, and miracles are very important. But miracles were to show us to God, The miracles were to show us to God, and I'm going to get to this here in a moment, and help us understand this here. Again, as we see other miracles in the Bible, we see where the blind were healed. We've seen where the Lord Jesus Christ made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the blind to see. Many miracles were done, but you know what? Those miracles never saved anybody. Every miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did was not about salvation. And Brother Jones talked about this earlier, you know, and gave the example of how he talked to a guy that, and asked him if he was saved. And the guy said, yeah, because he saw a vision of Jesus on the wall. You know, now, irregardless of whether you believe he actually saw the vision or not, and we won't go there this morning, but what he was doing is he was focusing on a miracle for his salvation. The miracles that were done in the Word of God were to reveal to us who the Messiah was, were to reveal to us that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah. He was in fact the Son of God. And when he says here in verse number 8, he says, and I have given unto them the words. You know what he was saying here? From the very beginning of my time here on earth, I have fulfilled Scripture. You know, we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're not careful, and there's a whole religion built on it. Well, if we're not careful, we'll get to worshiping Mary, because Jesus was born of a virgin woman. And if we're not real careful, we'll get all focused on that and forget the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. And again, what had happened is it was prophesied in Scripture. to be able to identify who Jesus was and who the Messiah was. It wasn't about Mary. Obviously, Mary was a very dedicated person of God, and she wanted to be used of God. And I would almost guarantee you that when we get to heaven and you can ask Mary herself, I would almost guarantee you that Mary knew something about the Bible and she knew how the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Can you imagine how she felt that night when the Holy Spirit of God came in and revealed to her that she would be the one of whom Christ was brought through? And again, she yielded herself to the Lord. But if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll get focusing on that miracle over there and we'll forget the purpose of the miracle. You see, the miracle was not Mary. The miracle, and it was not to focus on Mary. The miracle was to reveal to us who Jesus is. You know, many miracles Jesus did. One that comes right off the top of my mind, and it's a good, clear example, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed the 10 lepers. They all got healed of their leprosy. They all left, but only two of them came back and followed. You know what that tells me? 8 of them got healed of leprosy, but died and went to hell. 2 of them came back and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They got saved. They realized that the miracle was not being healed of leprosy. They realized that the miracle was in the miracle worker, not the miracle itself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, he said, I have given unto them. And who's he talking about? He's talking about the disciples here. He's talking about his followers. He said, I have given unto them the words. And now remember where Jesus is at. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's only one thing that he has left to fulfill, and that is to die on the cross and to rise again the third day. And he said, I have given them the words. Now, he goes on to say, which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I am come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. You know what he's saying here? All the miracles. He said, all the time that I spent with them, all the things that I showed them, all of the parables and the examples that I give them, and all of the things that I taught, and the miracles and everything that they participated in and everything that they saw, help them realize that Jesus came from God. And the message that he had for them was of God. And he said, I gave them the words, and he said they received it. You know, there's many times where people hold on to a miracle, and they use that as a point of their salvation. But you know, you're not saved until you enter into a relationship with God, into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you that the difference here in the scriptures in just a moment here. He said, but they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. You know, today, praise the Lord, we sit here in church, and what I have here on the podium, and what some of you all have on your lap, and maybe some of you all have on your telephone, or at least I'm hoping you're reading the scripture and not texting and doing something else you shouldn't be doing right now. But we have the word. We have the words of God. We're sitting down before us everything that we will ever need to know about anything in this world, about salvation. I've shared this with you before. The Bible teaches us how to raise our children. The Bible teaches us how to manage our money. The Bible teaches us, talking to Brother Hudson before in the beginning of service, the Bible teaches us how to eat healthy. There is not a subject in the Word of God that the Word of God does not cover, but the one thing that it always points to, the one thing that it always shows is that it leads us to and helps us understand that Jesus come from God. The message that we receive and the words that we receive, it says here they know surely that I am come out from thee. You know why I can tell you 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a saved, born again child of God? Because of the words of God. And you know why I can stand up here this morning and tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ that came, that was born of Mary many years ago and was raised up and died on the cross and rose again? You know why I can be so sure about all of that beyond a shadow of a doubt? Because I have the words right here before me that I was given. And you know what happened? In October of 1979, I received them. I took them. What I did is I changed all of the things that I had seen, all of the things that I had heard, and the miracles that again, as I've all shared this with you before, as a child, sitting in Sunday school class, I used to love listening to the stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the stories of Daniel, and seeing God move in a mighty way. And praise the Lord, I had wonderful examples of my parents who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember as a young boy thinking to myself, if God is so important to my father that everybody he speaks to, he has to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoys doing it, there really must be something about Jesus. There really must be something about Jesus. But you know, even knowing that didn't any good until October of 1979 when I received the words, when I received the miracles, when I received the place that God had put me in my life. Did it make a difference in my life? And when it did, you know what, as the Bible says, what it confirmed in my heart, what it helped me know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I never have to worry about again, that I know that Jesus came from out of him, and I believe that Jesus Christ was sent by God to save my soul. And so that's what he was telling them here when he said, when he says here in the Word of God, he says, for I have given unto them the words. Now, maybe next week, what we'll do, and maybe hit a little bit on it, but as I told you, I just kind of had to stop. You know, there's some benefits from receiving the words. And again, I'm not just talking about going to heaven. I thank the Lord that barring none, that's probably the best that when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I traded a road to hell to heaven. And I know that I know that I know and that I'll go to heaven when I die, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that was a wonderful thing. But you know, there's more, as we would call it in the world today, there's more perks than just that. And I thank the Lord for that. But I want to cover the next one here. And if you'll go with me and if you'll drop down to verse number 14, it says, and I have given them thy word. You know, it's really interesting as you pay close attention to what he was saying. In verse number 8, he said, I have given unto them the words. And they received them, and it made a big difference in their life. But see, now he's going to talk about something completely different here. And he says, and I have given them thy word. Now, it's really kind of interesting. After he said, I had given them thy word, it goes on to say, and the world hath hated them. Oh, wow. Think about that for a minute. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Again, folks, if you profess to be saved, and there's never been a change in your life, and you're more comfortable in the world, and I understand there's a growth process. There's a growth process. When I got saved, my want-tos changed, and my desires changed, but it took a little while for my body to catch up. But when we can live comfortably in the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, and being a part of the world, there's something wrong.
Right.
When the world is content with us, and we're content with the world, there's something wrong here. Because the Bible says, I have given them thy word. What's it talking about, thy word? Well, thy word is, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The word is the Bible says, there's no other name given under heaven whereby the man must be saved. The word is it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it's not words, because it wasn't about the miracles. It wasn't about the parables. What it was is they realized what those were for, and they received the Lord Jesus Christ. They received the word. They took to their heart that the only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? The Bible says, and the world hated them. We've got a movement in our world today amongst religious organizations, and I'll put it that way, that you can live as you please and live like the devil and have it all. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, they done lied to you. They done lied to you. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, that's the word of God. Let me give you some personal testimony. When I got saved, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, October 1979, I could not continue in the direction that I was going. I couldn't. Now, as I told you, was I sinless? Did everything change overnight? No, it did not. But I couldn't live with myself and live in sin any longer. Something had to give. Something had to go. And by the grace of God, and by the mercy of God, and by the help of God and God's people, things were changed. But you know what also happened? There were some friends I was hanging around. They were people that, man, I'll tell you what, if you were to ask them, we were best of friends. Actually, as I hung around them and we went places together, and we had this little saying. When somebody would say, hey, where are you going? And we'd look that person dead straight in the eye and tell them to hell if we don't change our ways. But you know what happened after I got saved? I went back, and my buddies, I had to let them know, hey, things are different now. I can't participate and do those things. I can't live in like this anymore. Because there's been a change in my heart. There's been a change in my life. I can't live this way anymore. And you know, craziest thing? They looked at me and they said, well, why? I told them, well, I got saved. I invited Jesus in my heart. You know what most of their words were? Siegbert's gone fanatic. He's one of those Jesus nuts. He's one of those weirdos. And you know what? I didn't stop being their friend. They stopped being my friend. You know what? They didn't want anything to do with me anymore. You know, I'd call them up and say, hey, you guys want to hang out tonight? On Friday night? No, we don't. Yeah. You know, I'd call them up and say, hey, you know, we got something going on over at the church. Why don't you come and join us? That's okay. We're busy. We're occupied. And the more I tried to give them the Word of God, some of them, the more disdain and hate they had for me. They didn't like who I was. You know why they didn't like who I was? Because what God was changing me into, in my new life in Christ, shined a big old spotlight on the sin in their life. You know, we were talking about it the other day. We got some coyotes that run around here. And we were talking the other day about hunting some of them down. And about anything to killing a coyote is legal except for what they call spotlighting them. Waiting in the dark and then turning on a light and startling them and then shooting them. Well, I say, let's go ahead and shoot the coyotes. Get rid of them. But that same effect in my friend's life is what they had when I would come around them after I got saved. Because you see, the spirit within me wasn't the same. The things that I wanted to do were not the same. The things that I desired were not the same. And so very naturally what it began to do is it began to separate us. It began to put division between us. And I can honestly say I never got to the point where I hated them. There was never a point where I cussed them out, or there was never a point where I said a bad word towards them or shunned them. But almost every single one of them cussed me, shunned me, made fun of me, and no longer wanted anything to do with me. Why? Well, because I had received the Word. And when you receive the Word, the Bible says, and the world hated them. And my point is, folks, how is your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God, or are you just depending on a miracle? See, if you're hanging on to that miracle, you're in big trouble. I guarantee you, you will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And you will be bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire forever. Because a miracle won't help you. But you know what will help you? Having a relationship with God. And you say, well, how do we have a relationship with God? Well, it's easy. What the Word of God said up here in verse number 8 when He revealed to them the words and He says, which thou hast given me, they have received them. What they did is they said, okay, I'm going to take that because I don't want. And in a word we don't hear and we don't use often, they repented. Amen. You know what repenting is? A turning away. You know, if I'm going this direction on the platform and I'm repenting of going this direction, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and not walk backwards. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to head to the direction of the piano because I have repented from the direction that I have gone. You see, when a person gets saved, they repent. They turn. They no longer follow what the devil says. They no longer live as the devil would have them live. They turn to Christ and they begin to follow. But again, we've got a lot of religious folks today that'll tell you, you can do both. Oh, there's not anything wrong with a little bit of the nightlife. There's not anything wrong with a little bit of nip here and there. There's not anything wrong with, you know, you live in a sensual, sexual life and saying you're a Christian. You know, when I got saved, I began to come under conviction about the things that I was doing. And then it finally got to the point where I couldn't do them anymore. You know why? Because I had a relationship with God. And go on here. It says, first of all, he said, and I give them thy word, because there's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one way to get saved. And the world hath hated them because, look at that, they are not of the world. You see, when you get saved, you're taken out of the world. Now again, what we're speaking here, not necessarily this physical world with grass trees and the buildings. It's the sin and the evil and being a child of the devil. The Bible says when you get saved, and the world's going to hate you because they are not of the world. When I got saved, I was no longer a child of the devil. I became a child of God. I was transplanted. I was taken out of the world of sin. I was taken out of the things of the world, and I was put into the family of God. You know, I am in this world, obviously, but I am not of this world. This world is not my home. The sin is not my home. I'm not comfortable in sin. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm being honest with you, I don't live a sinless, perfect life. I would that I could stand here and tell you that I did, but then I would be lying. But I'm not comfortable in it. The Holy Spirit of God convicts me over it. And if you can live in sin, and the Holy Spirit of God not speak to you about it, I'd kind of back up and look. And I'd wonder, are you depending on a miracle? Or are you relying on the relationship? And so it goes on to say that the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he goes on to say, and I pray not that they should take them. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take you out of the physical world. It takes you out and puts you into the family of God, and you're still in this world. But you know what happens? It says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world, or take them out of the world." Because folks, the reason we've not been taken out of this world yet, God has a purpose and a plan. You know, there was a timing for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, to be born, to live, to die, to raise again. There was a purpose. There was scripture that had to be fulfilled. There were things that had to be set in line so that the life of Christ would match what the words that were already written and the words that were prophesied. There was a time. And you know what, folks? It's not our time to be taken out of this physical world. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, we're not having your funeral. October 31st of this year, God took my mother out of this world. Literally out of this world. It was her time. She had fulfilled all that she needed to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, come on home. But Jesus is praying here for those who are still in the world, as far as this physical world. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know what Jesus Christ is praying for us about? Keep us from evil. Now, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And you know why we need to live a good, godly, clean Christian life, folks? There's a purpose. There's a purpose. There's things that the world needs to see. And the Bible says, and they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify means clean up. Make them different. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. You know, brother and sister in Christ, you know how you can be sanctified? Get in the Word of God. Be in church where you should be. Bring your Bible, study, go home, pray, spend time with God. When you do those things, the Bible says that he wanted them sanctified. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Christians, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, if you're not spending time in prayer, you're going to have a hard time walking a good life. You're going to stumble and fall all over the place. He says, so sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. You know why you're still here? Who sent Jesus into the world? God did. God sent him here for a purpose. And that purpose was to make salvation possible for us. You know what our job here in the world is? Not to see how close we can get to him and how much we can act like him. Our job here in this earth and in this world is that God and that Lord is Jesus said here, he said, even as thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy word. Now here's the part, verse number 20, and I'll be done here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on them through their word. You know why we're sanctified in the word? You know why we should live different? You know why we should act different? You know why we can't be a part of the world? Because the world needs to see us so they can see Christ. The world needs to see us so they can see Christ in us, and so that they can see God, and so that they can know and be settled in their heart that this is the truth. And God has sent us, Jesus has sent us into the world. It tells us here in the Bible that he sent us into the world as God sent him into the world for the purpose of evangelizing, for the purpose of winning this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you depending this morning on a miracle? Or are you depending on a relationship? A relationship with God take you out of this world, cause the world to hate you, but it will also cause the world to see God and to fulfill the thing that God wants us to do. You know what Jesus was doing here? He was preparing his disciples. Jesus knew, and I'm going to close my book here. Jesus knew that it would not be long that he would hang on the cross, that he would die, that he would rise again, and there would come a day when he rose from the grave shortly after that, that he would ascend up into heaven. And what he was doing is preparing a group of people to carry on the message that he began when he came to this earth. And that's why we're here. Amen. in a relationship with God, in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, will make all the difference. You know, I've had some people tell me before, and I've got one man in particular on mind, and you pray for him. He says, I've tried that Jesus stuff, and it doesn't work. Well, that's the problem. He tried it. Jesus is not something you try. Jesus is something you receive. Jesus is something you accept. And it changes your life. Christians, do you remember the day you got saved? Is it about a miracle, or was it about a relationship? You say, oh, you know, preacher, you're trying to make me doubt. Well, no, that's not my goal. What I want you to do is be sure. Because we got a lot of people today that are professing that do not possess. You know, we've got some Christians that are going to die and go to hell. You say, now wait a minute. If they're Christians, how are they going to die and go to hell? Well, you know what the word Christian means? To be Christ-like. And that name came to the folks in the book of Acts. And they got it because of how their lives changed after their conversion to Christ. You see, I do what I do because I am born again, not so that I can be born again. So where's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you here today? Are you 100% sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? You say, well, you know, preacher, I don't know that I want that. I don't want the world to hate me. You know, don't worry about that. Honestly, God gave me much better friends than he ever took away. And you know what? I've had the privilege to lead some of those friends to the Lord Jesus Christ later on. You know why? Because they begin to notice the difference, and they begin to watch me, and they think, wow, you know, maybe there's something behind what Siegbert got involved in. I might look at that a little bit closer. We're here for the purpose of telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved and that you want to be, will you not leave this building today without at least talking to me? We're talking to Brother Jones, or talking to Brother Mark, or Sister Deanne. We can point you in the direction of many people here in the church that could show you verse by verse out of the Bible how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. Don't leave without knowing that. You say, well, why is that important? The Bible says life is but a vapor which appeareth for a moment and then pass away. You are not guaranteed your next breath. You're not guaranteed your next heartbeat. And the Bible says, as is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. Once you die, once that heart stops beating, once that breath starts coming, stops coming, they're saying, now wait a minute. Give me 5 more minutes, God. I'll make it right. No, the Bible says, after death is the judgment. You say, oh, well, I'm a young person. I've got plenty of time. you old folks, yeah, maybe you better check into that because some of yous are, you know, one foot in the grave. And lately I've been feeling about that way. One foot in the grave. You know, so you worry about that, Brother Mark, because you've got something to worry about. I challenge you, young people, go to the gravesite. Look at the dates. And you know what you'll find? You'll find young people your age. You'll find children. You'll find all kinds of ages. You see, death is about an appointment, not an age. 9 years old, or I'm sorry, 13 years old. Chris Treadwell, out on a youth activity, young people, canoeing. Around his friends, got out of the boat where he wasn't supposed to, was swimming where he wasn't supposed to, and never made it home that night. 13 years old. Was he planning on going anywhere that day? No, I don't think he was always canoeing and having a good time. But he came to his appointed time. My friend, Jeff Cordell, 18th birthday. I was his pallbearer. His 18th birthday. Carried his casket and put it over a hole and lowered down. See, Chris Treadwell had gotten saved and went to heaven. Jeff Cordell, he had time. Party life. Party life. Passing a joint. Marijuana from one window to the other. Milford Police Department saw it. Turned on their lights. He decided, hey, my new fast Camaro, I can outrun them. Took off at 120 miles an hour. Hit a hill. Spun that car around, threw him out, and his head was slammed up against a steamroller. Oh, he had time. No. Time was over. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. I hope so. I hope so. I truly hope so. But you got to make it, the decision, out of a relationship. And next week, folks, we're going to talk about the benefits of making that decision and what Jesus did and what Jesus done. So where are you today? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll have our invitation. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts, from the youngest in this auditorium to the oldest. Lord, I pray that we'd examine our life. Lord, I pray that we examine everything about us. Lord, I pray that if we don't know you as, if someone doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart. Lord, I pray that they would hear the Holy Spirit of God so loud that they can do nothing but respond. And Father, I pray for the Christians in the auditorium today. Lord, you saved them out of this world. But they're trying to spend too much time blending in and having fun and a good time with this world. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to get that right. Lord, I want to be sanctified by thy word. I want my life to be to where when others see me, what they see is you. And Father, I pray for those who have tuned in. I pray that, Lord, if there be any among them that are lost, Father, I pray that they would seek out someone that would show them from the Word of God how they could be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd cause them to pick up the phone and call us so that they could know you as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church, Faith Independent Baptist Church, to not live like the world, act like the world. Lord, help us to stand up, speak up, and proclaim your name. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.